All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, no nays and no abstentions. Okay, old business, existing policy revisions, number one, district bylaws. I'll turn it over to our CEO.
All right, so the main reason why we are doing the bylaws revision is to add this committee as a standing committee.
Page 8 of the packet.
That's page 8 of the packet, and you see the changes in a red font.
What are you changing this whole thing?
No, just the red stuff.
But that was it. That was it. I was like, I kept going pages.
It's mostly adding.
Yeah, since it was an ad hoc and we moved it to standing, it needs to be added.
Okay, well, if you're okay with that?
Well, yes and no. I would like us, if not today, then I do think we need to redo the way officers are elected. I think there needs to be at least discussion about a rotation that follows some kind of path, which is yet to be determined. And I think we should ask Jeff to look into how other districts do it. What I'm trying to avoid, Letty, is the awkward situation that comes up at the December meeting, when we're not really allowed to talk to each other about, mm-hmm. and then nominations are made and voting is done blindly. And I think it would be better to have a rotation that allowed people to opt out, and then it also has to be confirmed by the board in case there's a rogue board member. I understand the concern that there may not be somebody who doesn't reach the level of rogue board member, but that people might not want to be president. But I mean, that happens in city councils and other organizations, which is why I'd like to know what other districts do. So I certainly will vote to approve this the way it is so that we can get on with it, but I would like us to direct staff and legal to come up with a proposal to discuss a rotational way of doing things.
I'm wondering, though, should we just hold off on doing the amendment of the bylaws and have that be come back next month with that information?
First of all, we don't meet monthly. Secondly, I also think you want to get this done because you're trying to
I was just going to say, I mean, if we end up doing another one of these meetings before next month's board meeting, then we're fine, because we're trying to get the ACHD certification by end of March, so.
I think it might take more than one meeting to discuss, and I also think that the public might want to weigh in, and I think that people may have some questions, and I don't want it to appear like it's being shoved down. And there's nothing wrong with modifying it 3 months from now. That doesn't affect certification.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So I'm more concerned about certification than this, but I would like this to be addressed.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, this one's just kind of a formality kind of a thing because we made the committee,
right?
You know, a standing committee, but.
So as long as we pass it and then...
If you're okay with amending the bylaws every 3 months, I think that's kind of okay. But if you're okay with amending every 3 months...
If it wasn't for us trying to meet the certification.
Oh, and the other thing is necessary for the certification?
Yeah, that's where we're trying to get these...
Okay. No, the rotation policies.
Right, but updating the committee to make it a formal committee is necessary.
Well, since that was done at the prior board meeting, I mean, we need to update them. We should have current bylaws.
Yeah, the bylaws should be current policy.
Okay, so that's what the question.
That's why we're trying to do to get them.
Yeah, and I think there will be some controversy about whether to rotate it or not, and so I don't want it to be rushed.
Okay.
And
I will make December.
A motion.
What?
We have until December, because that will be the next time.
We have until December to make the change. And mm-hmm. are you also okay with the two of us directing staff to work on it?
I am okay with directing staff. I will make a motion to approve the amended bylaws and to direct staff to look into what other districts are doing and to confer with legal counsel.
Mm-hmm. On the election of officers.
On the election of officers. Okay.
Second.
On 7.1, I guess, will be, well, actually all of them.
Well, otherwise we approve the rest of the
Okay, bylaws. Very good. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, no, yes, and no noes. Moving on to the next item.
The appointment to and duties for committees. So again, this adds the board and staff communications and policies committee. And it eliminates the volunteer community members.
Do you need to fix that in 1.2.1 then as well? Because you still have your committee may also include committee community mm-hmm. members volunteer as outlined in the volunteer members
yeah.
guidelines.
Yeah, it needs to be taken out.
Did you want to keep the student representative?
What did you say?
1.2.1.
1.2.1.
Second sentence. Oh, I missed that one.
Sorry. And also, what about the student representative?
I haven't had one of those in years.
Yeah, I would take that out too. Would you want to add, I mean, it's understood, but the reality, the point is that our meetings are open to the public, that we can encourage people to attend the meeting I mean, we could call them whatever they want. They're not, the point is they're ex officio. And you don't require, we don't require bylaws to have ex officio people, do we?
And the finance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering. Can we say that volunteers can be made? No, that has to be a whole process.
No, okay. I think they're just,
I think they
to me, they can keep coming as community members. It's yeah. just not the official.
Right.
Duty that they have.
Yeah. And that we can
make public comment.
Public comment, right. and the chair and the CEO are welcome to bring in content people with expertise to participate in any way we want. They want.
Subject matter experts.
Yeah, subject matter expert. Yeah, yeah. Which is, do you think putting something in there might make it less controversial if we made it clear that there could be subject matter experts brought in by the chair and the CEO?
I think for transparency, it makes it more well-rounded, yeah. And also that you are open to bringing in outside people to give you advice, maybe.
So we can say staff may...
Staff and the committee chair. I wouldn't even say staff, I'd say the committee chair and the CEO, in other words, they both have to agree, may bring in content experts to committee meetings as needed. Participate in committee meetings as needed.
Content experts. As needed.
In other words, they would not be subject to the public comment rule because they're not public comment, they're content.
Well, then they'd be on the agenda as well.
They'd be on the agenda.
To participate.
So that's two different things, really. Engaging community members.
And committee deliberations.
I think we should mention that that we intend to have community meetings on a regular basis for as needed, because when we have a major issue like we're doing right now
mm-hmm.
With the air quality issues, we're participating in those community meetings.
Mm-hmm.
If we have what we had talked about before, you said you wanted to do those meetings,
yes.
The 14 meetings uh-huh. or community health meetings, we're going to include the public in those meetings. So I think we should mention that we're going to endeavor to continue to, because acknowledging that we are doing it,
mm-hmm.
to continue to involve the public as to get their input and better understanding of.
Well, I agree with that, except this is specifically the set of a resolution or a
policy
on committees.
Okay, right.
But I think there should be at least a sentence in there, because
there's... Yeah, but why don't we put it back under the bylaws under
meetings? I think we can put it maybe at the end, notwithstanding these committees, the board is committed to participating in community meetings and having broad representation throughout the district, something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You don't want to amend Article 5, Section, Article 5, that has regular meetings, organizational meetings, special meetings, and say that, put it in there somewhere?
In the bylaws?
Well,
or...
Okay, so I guess rather than the bylaws, it'd be in a policy. Okay, got it.
You know, I haven't seen it in a while, but we do, the board actually approved a community engagement policy. Mm. So, I mean, we could always say we can refer to our community engagement policy as necessary or when needed.
Is there a quick way to look it up?
We don't have that in our.
Why not? Policy. The board approved it and everything. You and Lisa brought it forward a long time ago.
Couldn't have been that long
ago. Yes, it is.
Lisa. You and Lisa actually developed
it. But maybe it would be fine that you can refer to, make reference to it here.
Community engagement policy.
Maybe it's in there, but I don't remember it. Maybe we can look at it. I don't recall that one, Donna.
You don't?
No. Because I don't think there's any such policy in there.
Maybe you just talked about it.
Swarm was brought forward to the board.
You sure?
Are you talking about board meetings?
No, it's an actual community engagement policy.
A specific policy for them.
Right, does it refer to board meetings or refers to...
It's just engaging the community.
Oh, okay.
We will strive to engage the community, respect their opinions, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole bunch of...
That would be a new one.
Well,
at least you'll work on it. No, I think that would be great if that's a policy, and then it could be
referred to.
Uh-huh. Referred to, or I don't even know what would need to be referred to. But
I think it would be a good idea to refer to it in this, as we're taking away something, I don't want them to.
I don't understand why that would be a separate policy. I don't see any policy for community engagement.
Maybe it was a draft.
Direct and quick.
I think it was something that even Megan and Annalisa worked on.
Oh, that would be too recent.
Resident. So we may add at the end something like this. I think Jeff needs to refine the language, but notwithstanding the aforementioned committees of the board, the district will make every effort to ensure that its directors and staff participate in community meetings relevant to the health and wellness of the district residents.
But it's not only us participating in community meetings, it's the community being invited to our meetings by us having special community forums and things like that.
Well, and we can say, and also that we will invite, or
I'll just add something about it. We will hold community forums to get community input.
Mm-hmm.
The district will make every effort to ensure broad community participation, right?
Yeah.
Participation and input in district matters at both board and committee meetings, right?
Mm-hmm. Board committee and special meetings.
Board committee.
And board, comma, committee, comma, and special. Unless you don't believe in the
and special meetings.
mean, an example would be if we ever get moving on the hospital, we would schedule a series of special mm-hmm. outreach meetings to the community. Mm-hmm. And we would be doing that because it's our policy to involve the community in important issues.
Mm-hmm. I think that would take care of that. Oh, at least address it. And are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So going on to the next thing.
Did we move in second?
Oh, just on that thing, or is that other thing that we have to address on this?
For the Board of Directors 3, the appointment to committees, that's what we are.
Yeah, we're on appointment to committees.
So we,
what page are we on?
So let's go back to the beginning. On page 13, we will delete this committee may also include community members. That's the first paragraph.
1.2.1.
Yes,
1.2.1. And 1.2.2.
And from the end of 1.2.2.
And the student thing, take the student.
Yes, yeah. The student thing, yes. But we're adding to 1.2.1, the committee chair and the CEO may bring content experts as needed to participate in committee deliberations.
Perfect.
Right?
You want that just on program?
No.
Or do you want it general for any committee?
We can add it to all the committees, because let's say for real estate, if we want to analyze.
That's why that's why I'm wondering if maybe we can just put it up in under the standing committees paragraph, the 1.2, then that way it pertains to all committees.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or create a 1.2.6, which you then took out. In other words, substitute that thing about members for 1.2.6. And then it refers to all committees.
Exactly.
And it replaces the volunteer committee member paragraph.
Yep.
You got that, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Then 3, program committee responsibilities will include to identify trends in healthcare needs that can be addressed by the district and provide input on needs assessment conducted by district staff, to provide advice, counsel, and feedback to staff as needed during program development, to monitor implementation of grant making and program related activities to ensure alignment with district strategic plan, to identify key program issues to be discussed at the board level, and to consider grant proposals and recommendations provided by staff, and to make recommendations of grants to approve to the district's board of directors.
Yeah, good.
And the FNA will continue as is.
I like that last bullet point under 5.1 that you added. To provide vision and guidance.
Yes, 5.1, to provide vision and guidance on the development of the district strategic plan for the strategic planning committee, and to monitor implementation of strategic plan and program-related activities to ensure programs initiatives are achieving the desired impact.
On number 6, do we really provide reports on activities of the hospital? Is that really part of the lease oversight? Because it seems to me it's both the DRMC CEO report and the governing board representatives. It's their job to report on activities of the hospital, whereas it's this committee's job to do the inspection and to track the quality measures. So I think that reports on activities of the hospital. Would you want this committee to be looking at the residency program?
No.
I think that sentence makes it look like they can look into anything that having to do with the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, you found it.
And it was approved March 27th, 2018. I have a copy of the minutes, page 8 of the minutes.
I do remember that now. It was approved unanimously.
What a memory you have, like a steel trap.
I have taken to write down things because
I wasn't given a policy number.
I have no idea.
Maybe it was never approved.
It was approved.
She just said it was approved in March 2018.
Look on page 8 of the minutes.
So we can bring it to the next.
He includes those subject matter experts too.
So we shall bring it to the next meeting.
Well, if it's already
approved, we'll just bring it here.
Okay.
Okay.
But we need to give it.
The question is: Do you want to have it included in the committee meetings, or do you want to have it just as a separate policy that we bring, that we refer to?
We need to give a number. We need to assign it.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that wasn't.
Well, this is an older board too. Maybe you guys want to review it and give some changes to it, or decisions or amendments.
So, should we follow the order and then look at this at the end?
So, is there anything else on appointments to committees?
Protocol.
What page are we on now? I'm sorry.
Are we on 17?
Yeah, we're on 17. Page 17.
Okay. And you're taking all that other stuff out. So you took out the line about reports, provide reports on activities of the hospital.
Yes.
Activities of the hospital. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the end of that policy.
You don't want any reports presented there.
Well,
what about like?
It says this responsibility of the committee is to provide reports on activities of the hospital, meaning we have to report on the activities to the board, and I don't think that's already done by both the CEO of the hospital and the governing board representatives.
By taking off that one bullet point and just leaving the remaining four, that is pretty much all that they're responsible, their responsibility for that committee. There's nothing else that we have expectations of.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have it do more, but we made it more limited to just kind of the oversight of the lease with inspections and.
Okay, very good. Then we'll move on to the.
So, excuse me, are we removing that bullet point on the?
Yes, we're removing the reports on activities of the hospital bullet point. So, the motion is to approve the policy with the changes to removing that bullet point. And
all the other changes.
And the other changes that Conrado has made notes of.
For BOD3.
That would be 0.7. The notwithstanding, the district will make every effort to ensure broad community participation.
Okay, you got that, Andrew?
Yes.
Okay, so I will entertain the motion.
I'm so moved.
Second?
All
those in favor? All those no's? No? So we're passing 2-0. Okay, next item is BOD 8 board meetings, page 20 and 22.
He just added a sentence about the Brown Act, which is fine.
That's it?
No. I move it be accepted as amended, as changed.
Excuse me, was that the only change?
For BOD 8, I believe so. That's the only change.
Okay, why is it wasn't already in there?
Then wait a minute, there are other changes for BOD 8. We took out stuff from the
program committee, didn't we? Or am I confusing it with the one before?
Yes, BOD8 is board meetings, which we're adding all.
No, I'm sorry. Did you see, are there any change? Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about BOD3. Never mind.
Yes, no, we're still on 8.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. The only change on BOD8 was the long red stuff added.
That the public meeting, Rocco and Brumick.
It's already there, yeah. So moved that we accepted.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
No noes. Passes 2-0. Okay, so the next one is a conflict of interest. It will be 15, page 23.
And all it's doing is changing the names of the people.
Exactly. So what we're doing is updating the job titles.
Can you update mine?
We have them now.
What's your title?
Oh,
Chief Program Officer.
Never mind, yes it is. I'm still a senior program officer. Sorry.
I move it be accepted.
I will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Most noes. It passes 2-0. Okay, next we have.
There
will be 17 CEO compensation and performance evaluation, page 27. So this is a new policy.
Basically, it looks like it changes it to make clear the process,
mm-hmm.
as we discussed at the meeting.
Yeah. So for every March thereafter, but you do currently have some template right now. We're going to review that first to see if we're okay with that. And then, okay, so this is... So is there... which committee is the one that starts it, or is it the whole board? This to review your...
The evaluation?
Is it
the president.
It's the president and then the whole board.
And then brings it to the board, the executive committee. The executive committee of the board.
Okay. So the executive committee of the board, I have never heard it referred to just the officers. Do you actually have an executive committee for the district?
We had an ad hoc
for CEO evaluation. We had a ad hoc committee that was in place, but it no longer.
No, but that did not include all the elected board members. I think what we're saying is that it goes to what do we call the meetings that are not public?
Closed session.
So it goes to a closed session of the board.
Goes to a closed session.
So you can either refer that as an executive committee, which means, in fact, that's not really an executive committee. Yeah. It's really a closed session of the board.
So when we're talking about the process, to me, it's not clear who actually does this. So if whether it's an ad hoc committee of the board, the executive committee, the four officers. Or if it's just the...
It's the entire board.
Okay, so it's the full board. So maybe it's the full board. Mm-hmm.
So, and the process is led by the president of the board.
Okay, so, I just want to make sure that that's clear, and where would that be? Because it wasn't clear when I read this before.
Here, on 7, item 7, the board shall meet, you should add, in closed sessions as a group. The board shall meet in closed session as a group. Does that take care of it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. And that takes care of it.
Okay, you just say the entire board shall meet with the CEO, but just to be very clear on that, because. The entire group shall meet with the CEO in closed session, because it is a closed session item to discuss. I think that will address it. Thank you.
Now, on number 11, the second sentence, the board or a committee of the board will review compensation using appropriate salary compensation data. That'll be up to whether it's done either in closed session of the board or a subcommittee of the board. That would be up to the president. But then any decision is made public following the closed session evaluation. In fact, it even refers to the closed session.
Yeah.
I mean, there.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's fine too.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
No noes. Passes 2-0. Okay, so grant policy, page 30. Mr. CEO.
So in the grant and mini grant policy here, we added per AB 2019 and revised California Health and Safety Codes section, individual meetings regarding grants between an applicant and a district board member, officer, staff outside of the established grant process is prohibited. So this is to be in compliance with the AB 2019. We are adding a clause here to provide technical assistance or capacity building support to small nonprofit organizations with an annual revenue of less than $500,000 that are financially unable to provide audited financial statements, and the district can support their audit if they have never had one. And the other thing that we added here is the district may also consider providing grant funds to develop capacity building via, in this case, the only Center for Nonprofit Advancement that we have is at the RAP Foundation. So we added that as a possibility that we can use.
The only suggestion I have is on item 4.1, that you add the term sexual orientation, I'm sorry, gender identity to the list.
Gender.
Otherwise we'll be called out on it.
It is on there.
It says gender.
It just says gender, but gender and gender identity are separate things. And then my second recommendation would be that after we discuss this, that we not vote on it since you have to recuse yourself, and that we just forward it to the board with no recommendation.
So when do I recuse myself? Before we actually talk about it, or just in that particular item? Just so that I know when.
I believe in just that particular item.
Okay. I think that
yeah. So you give me the signal. Okay, well actually I will recuse myself from that part of it today. Okay.
Which one is it? I'm sorry, which topic?
It's
3B2.
And at the board meeting, you have to recuse from the entire policy.
Yeah.
On that. Yes.
Yeah, the point is, since there are only two of us here, we can't really vote on it.
Oh, thank you.
So,
we
do have a quorum. I guess, so if I vote to move it forward, okay, fine. Yes. So you're not going to vote on it. Were there other changes you wanted to make?
No, that was good. Well, I do have a little bit of, on 1.2, I know it's correct on here, but I guess we're going to have that workshop to talk about how we are still in compliance
yes.
with this and how we can still increase awareness of the grants. But
I'm sorry, where are you?
1.2 per AB 2019.
So it's not, I guess, anything wrong with the wording, it's just that that's so problematic right now, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, and Don has done a good job in explaining it, but I think it needs to be even brought down to a lower level of understanding. In other words, it's very complex. And you've explained it appropriately. And the last one you did was even better in terms of making it clear to people that don't like to be clear about things. But I think we probably need to do even a better job in really explaining not only to the grantees, but to the board members.
Well, the grantees get it once you explain it to them. They get it. They understand. And they're like, and in fact, they like it because they can just go ahead and start doing an LOI without having to like get permission or getting a link to the grant application as we had in the past.
Right. So but we need to have some. Mm-hmm. I think we need to have some published materials that explain that, and then we need to reinforce it with the board members.
Yeah, on our website we do go into a little bit more depth about AB 2019.
And maybe even a Q&A kind of thing. So, you know, what happened, what should a board member do if somebody in the community comes up and says, I have a really great idea, can we have a coffee and talk about it? which is exactly what happened to me last week. And I basically referred them to you to find out what the process was. Because I, to be honest with you, I can't verbalize the process very clearly.
Which is probably a good idea because no, we'll mess up. But no, but if somebody does, and I guess we'll learn about this through the workshop, but if somebody comes to me and just talks to me about a problem, and if we never talk about the grant, but we talk about a problem, and if I tell them connect with, I guess it's just ideas, but I just don't know where I'm
crossing the line. You can talk in concept, so I think that's the thing to keep in mind. You can talk concepts and
Some concrete examples, because the idea of concept and concrete is unclear to me too.
As long as you're not talking about, you know, like, okay, go to the district for a grant for $200,000. But if you're talking about, okay,
does the district fund things like this?
Here's a concept which you had with Well in the Desert with Arlene. When Arlene came to you and also then emailed me and said, you know, we provide really good wraparound services for the homeless. And then so she said something about grant funding. I said, start the process, submit an LOI. Oh, okay, got it.
So you can't even explore what she's talking about? No?
I mean, not
until they submit an LOI. Once they submit an LOI, yes. So typically what other organizations, foundations particularly, that what they do to raise awareness about funding opportunities is that, number one, the funding opportunities are aligned with a strategic initiative or with the strategic plan, and they have a request for proposals process that it's then announced to the public, and the staff then has a workshop where we explain what is a request for proposals, what are the eligible projects, how much funding is available, what are the limits, what are the exclusions, all those things. That's typically how it's done. So organizations have that awareness of what is the process and how they can submit a proposal in response to a specific need that the district has. In this case, we don't have it that well aligned with a strategic plan. It's more first come, first serve, and if it fits and we like it, they get funded. But typically, through a strategic planning process, we should then allocate this portfolio of funding that we're going to approve for this year. Let's say we have 3.5 million, we're going to say 1 million for homelessness, 1 million for behavioral health, 1 million for primary care. And we describe the process.
But we need to let people know. So for example, I got an email from Diane Vines, you know, she is at the university.
And she's also applying for the senior program.
I would like to meet with you to tell you about our street medicine grant and get advice about possible funding.
Right, that's the same thing Lenny's asking. So can she say, go speak to the district? Can she say that?
But then she won't be able to speak to you until she submits an LOI.
She submitted an LOI.
But the point is, when they call you, you say submit an LOI. We can say submit an LOI, but on the other hand, if they say, well, how do I do that? I'm going
to
say, you know what, I don't really.
To the website.
Go to the website.
But the point is, they can call you to find out how to submit the LOI.
Yeah.
Yes. But we can't talk about ideas and what would be.
Right, they want to pick
my
brain.
If she called me up and asked me about a street medicine program, in the past I would say, well, how is this different than what UCR is doing? How is this different than what VIM is doing, you know? And
now you can't do that.
So the ideal answer is go to the website.
Submit an LOI.
Submit an LOI. If you go to the website specifies the process.
Yeah, because
I know that, but telling somebody to go to the internet, I think, may work, but on the other hand, go to the internet, or if you're unclear what to do, then call Don.
But
or have contact information on the website too.
But when it says board approved policy, so is that we determine the policy?
It was the board-approved grant policy, yes.
So if we change the board-approved policy where it allows them to talk to you to raise...
That board-approved policy is to follow the California Health and Safety Code.
Board-approved grant policy.
Board-approved grant policy is to follow the California Health and Safety Code.
Thank you.
And then the website actually describes AB 2019 as well under our grants. So
where is it on the website?
So on the menu.
Let me see.
On the menu.
That way I can direct
you. Go to grants.
I actually understand it better. Grants.
Uh-huh. And then about grants or any of these other ones. So this is where I am about grants right now.
So we have the
eligibility, the funding restrictions.
Are we held to prevailing wage law?
Oh, yeah.
For a capital improvement project.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Okay, thank you. I'll look at that.
And then it tells me about
the
mini grants, all that, the process. It has everything on there.
Again, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I remembered why. It was because we were waiting for the roadmap from Kauffman Hall to see where the gaps were in facilities and services. Why would we invest in capital projects if there wasn't a gap in facilities?
That's what it was, but then we never did.
We never
did the roadmap part of it.
And I remember the other thing that triggered it is DAP came with us with a huge capital request.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like $3 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we said, and we found a good excuse not to.
Well, it was the Kauffman Hall. They were supposed to give us where the gaps in facilities and services.
And why didn't they do it?
Because it kept getting put off and put off, because then it went to... Because the whole thing was, what was going to be the footprint of Desert Regional Medical Center, and were we going to end up doing any additional facilities across the valley?
If we were no longer in the hospital business, then did we want to spend capital on federally qualified health clinics or
other capital? So it was all hinged on what was that future plan, which wasn't defined, because then it kind of morphed into Tenet wanting to make, we're talking about a proposal to sell the hospital. So
we still haven't heard.
But shouldn't we still go through having a roadmap?
Part of the strategic plan, shouldn't we? Is that something
that is actually something that we should have?
Yeah, I mean, we paid big money to come along.
I'm not saying we shouldn't have it, but it was all hinged on what was going to be the plan of, you know, Tenet and Desert Regional involved with the hospital, the whole part of the strategic plan of.
I think we should have it and ask them to complete that part of their contract.
But I don't know that they have the information.
Yeah, they don't.
That's what I mean. We don't even have it.
Why would it be? I mean, I thought it was supposed to be overall broad of what of all the facilities, services, and providers where the gaps in services were throughout the whole Coachella Valley.
It was hinged on what was going to happen with the hospital with Tenet. And because we were looking at different options as to if the hospital was going to stay as is and have the complete retrofit done, if it was only going to be a partial retrofit, mm-hmm. no retrofit at all, and you know, put the East Tower out of service and build like de novo type hospitals or services down valley, like 40 bed units across the valley. So there was all these scenarios that there wasn't any conclusion to, because then it evolved into, okay, what's Tenet going to do with the hospital? And
so have you seen the document that presents the various scenarios?
No, I have not.
Okay, that you should show that, because and basically, until we know which way Tenet wants to go to make an offer, there's no way we know whether we need to invest in facilities in the East Valley or Mid Valley.
Correct.
At one point, the question was, if we're not going to do any retrofit on this, and Tenet wants to basically major downsize, do we want to join with a partner, Tenet or someone else, to build something Mid Valley or East Valley or whatever? It really was contingent on what Tenet decides to offer and what the board decides to do in accepting it.
So that still hold true if we're going to look at capital grants per se?
Well, it depends what kind of capital grant. If somebody's, you turn down a capital grant from Recovery House for
renovating a motel.
And how much was that for?
They're using $50,000 of the East Valley Fund towards that.
Yeah, so to me, that isn't relevant to the capital thing we're talking about.
See, this is all.
No,
when originally the Kaufman Hall thing came about, it was a very broad.
I'm saying,
it was a very broad thing that was specific to our strategic plan about facility services and providers. That it morphed into something with tenant. There, you know, sometimes we weren't privy to some of these meetings that were held. So, I was still under the assumption we were going to get a roadmap, and then Chris did mention that it was blah 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 blah, and I forgot about that part. But it still hasn't been put out to the community that this is why we're not doing capital grants, because it changed. We never did.
We might want to continue the moratorium on capital grants above a certain amount and be able to do at least consider a $50,000 homelessness thing.
Well, and then also with ABC Recovery, again, once again, acting on a silo, when you've got the CBAG, the whole permanent supportive housing, $10 million, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons.
Didn't the board agree to open this up for a review to see whether we still want to hold to that moratorium or not at the last board meeting?
It's
isn't that
mentioned to go back to the program committee.
So it's going to go back, so we are going to review it. And
well, I think it starts with staff explaining why it was in the first place. Yeah. So
now you have a better understanding.
The problem is program committee can only look at one side of it. The whole issue of the capital plan is not a program committee grant process.
But you're going to explain that to them during that process when they have discussion and what you're going to talk about, and then give them your insight as to whether you think there's still issues, and if not, then what are the parameters that we could set up as a recommendation?
So there's a couple of things here. With I think the capital expenditures, we can keep the moratorium on that until we have a better understanding of what the needs will be, and that spending, completing the community health needs assessment and the strategic plan. But I think aside of that, we should have that report from Kaufman Hall. Regardless of the options that we may have from the RMC, we need to function under the assumption that we don't know what's going to happen, but we do need to know what the needs are and where the opportunities are. Because based on whatever response they will give us, then we can adapt, but we can adapt with knowledge.
So what I would suggest is that you and your staff sit down, look at what was done, talk to Steve about where he thinks things mm-hmm. could go, and then come back to the board with a recommendation that the board says, yeah, go ahead and do that.
We'll take it to the program committee.
No, I don't think it's program committee. It's that part is not program committee.
So but we have the committee that's related to the hospital. Yeah. I think that's the committee.
That could be the committee. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, I just think that we should have some internal discussion before you take it to the
fine,
program.
But I don't think it's the program committee.
Yeah. So long.
I think that's the hospital. Yeah. Sale lease thing.
So that's your committee, right?
No, I'm not on that.
Mark.
Good. Okay, so we're good.
Yes. And there is one more thing that I wanted to bring to your attention. It says in our grant policies, in the exclusions.
Which page are we on?
Funding restrictions, number four.
Page 4
of
what?
Page 33.
Oh,
4.4. For funding restrictions. We will not support the following: individuals, endowments, retirement of debt, annual campaign, fundraising events, or expenses related to fundraising. This is not a law issue, it's an internal policy issue related to fundraising events. The law does allow the district to sponsor events if we want to, and I just wanted to bring that point to your attention. I know it can be contentious. I know that people can go overboard, but if we put some parameters to what we can sponsor in terms of events, that is a possibility that we have. Just putting it there.
I agree. The problem is it becomes a sinkhole because people want you to be, rather than to submit a grant that funds a particular program, they want you to be a sponsor of the organization and not just buy a table with 10 tickets. They want you to be a supporting sponsor.
5,000, 10,000.
And then you're basically, you're paying for general operating expenses rather than grants. And I think that we have the ability to support fundraisers by buying tickets for anybody we want to do, you know, for ourselves.
Well, this was brought about as well because it would be a one-time event. There's no outcomes, there's no measurements. And the grant is a contract that is for a project or an initiative or whatever. It's long-term, it's more than one night, one day, and that, but you're right, unless it's not called a grant. And if you want to take it out of
it. And the board can be used to pay for the food for the fundraiser, which is what sponsors do.
Or
sponsorships.
Alcohol, you know, I mean, you can restrict it, but, or table decorations or whatever.
And if you recall, the board had a lengthy conversation about this before.
Yeah. Are you wanting to, I understand your point, it's not the law, but is there a reason you want to take it out?
No, there is no particular reason. I think the only consideration is that it offers an opportunity to increase the visibility of the district. That's the only thing.
And I do think that we should consider, I don't know what the history of it is, but I can understand how it could be very problematic and to go get out of control. But I think that there is a point to having greater visibility in the community and to supporting some of the events that are community events, like the Dia de los Niños. Did we support that?
I did, myself. I went, Karen went, and so did Alejandra.
Okay.
We participated.
So you participated, but it was
the 5K.
Did they have sponsorships?
Yeah, they do have sponsorships.
They all do.
And so that one is not a fundraising event.
But how do you define?
That's exactly that if there are some parameters to it where if it's a community event that's not for fundraising, like
the mayor's race. How did that work?
How we've done this in the past, for example, is if a mini grant, 5,000, but it can be specific in an event, but specific to the educational opportunity piece.
How did we do the mayor's race? Because didn't we give a lot of money to the mayor's race?
No, we didn't give any money. He raised the money, gave it to us.
Okay, but I thought we
matched it. The district matched to the foundation. So the mayor at one point raised $50,000, came with a check, gave us the money to the foundation, and the district
matched it to
another
the foundation.
$50,000, and then that supported Ready Set Swim. It supported the health portal.
Right. CBU.
Okay, so we weren't supporting a fundraising event.
No.
Correct.
Okay.
I think you have to think about too, and I think this has come up in the past about those that we provide funding for. Are we buying sponsorships? Although we provided them with grant funding.
Yeah, either or. You want your sponsorship? You want a table or you want a nice grant?
But again, I think the grant allows us.
I want them to support the program and gain greater visibility in the community.
So the CEO has the ability to give $5,000 to anybody for any reason.
Okay.
And for visibility, and if it's more than $5,000,
are you talking a mini grant now?
A mini grant.
But
are there criteria for the mini grant? Are there criteria for the mini grant?
We gave one to UCR.
Okay.
We gave a mini grant to UCR.
See, that's what I would like him to have. That I guess now that you're getting a little bit more comfortable and familiar with communities, then maybe you'll do that more often, with using your discretion of where you think there's a greater need to have. To support an event and
to have that visibility.
See, I'd rather the CEO do it than board members who then have their own special interests.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would, so long as you're doing it, but I hadn't known that you were doing it, so If you do it, I would be okay with it.
And is there a budgeted amount for the those?
Mini
so
grants?
It's not limited.
You just said well, mini grants. Yeah.
No. But is so? Is there like $60,000?
So. No, it's part of the whole grant budget that we have.
Okay.
So in the case of UCR, for example, they came to us and they were asking for a sponsorship for an event, and we said no, we will not do that. However, if you have a specific need that can be supported with a mini grant, so that became an LOI that they submitted to us, and it was to support the education program. So that's how we were able to support
which the event was there for.
Yeah.
And did the event acknowledge the district funding?
Yes.
See, that's what we're talking about, is doing
that.
Well,
we did Rep's Fast Pitch.
That was years ago, wasn't it?
Well, remember we had the $10,000 grant that her...
That was confusing.
But it was an educational. Mm-hmm. But we the past ones were specific to the educational portion of the, which was also scholarshiping nonprofits mm-hmm. that couldn't afford to be in the fast pitch. Mm-hmm. So I think if you say you just can't spend it on food, alcohol, but if there's an educational piece. You know, like if the Mizell was having something which really supports the Meals on Wheels, and if we were going to give $5,000, then that money should go right to the program piece of Meals on Wheels,
right? And not to support their dinner,
right?
Or whatever right. beyond so, tickets.
So if you're okay with continuing with the way it is, the only thing that I would, I would just leave it to you to let us know whether there's an issue if a particular board member is telling you. You need to sponsor this event.
Yep.
Then that's a problem.
And I think you should look for opportunities to do it. And now that you know the community and you'll report it to the board, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And if the board has questions or whatever.
Well, we put it on that.
We put it in the report always to the program committee and to the board.
Yeah.
But again, it's still AB 2019 because it's still soliciting. It's a grant, so you can't. But there's a list of events that's always out there, a calendar of events that people can.
I do have a question on page 34, after step four, I believe, where it says, note, grant request may be declined at any stage of the application process. Do we have an appeal process? And do we need an appeal process?
That is a very good question. You know, I don't know that we are required to have one. I would assume that we do because we're a public entity.
We did in the past. We don't have an actual, but we had somewhere in the grant policy that they could appeal, but I...
Who do they appeal to?
To us.
Who's us?
The district, so it was...
No, but it's that's who turned down the thing to begin with.
Yeah, you need to be able to appeal it to... If you are recommending to the program committee that deny, that's where they will be aware that it's going to be denied. Before it gets to the board, would it be make sense that it goes to the executive committee or the CEO?
But
it has to be a different process.
No, but
it has to be the same body as what you're saying.
No, but if the board recommends denial, then that recommendation goes to the board, and they have an opportunity to speak at the board.
Okay, so that's the process.
That's the idea.
That has to be at the committee level.
So
go to the board.
Typically, the appeals process is for competitive grants. So we have one part of $300,000 that is going to do the community health needs assessment. And we had 8 applicants, and we selected one, HARC. Any one of the other applicants would have had the opportunity to appeal. And to say why did you award that grant to HARC rather than to USE? I think that's the appeal process. That is the reason why there is an appeal process.
Okay.
So long as we identify what the process is,
uh-huh.
that they have to submit it in writing within 30 days, something like that, mm-hmm. and then that the board will hear it for, you know, to hear their appeal, even if it is the same body, but it's a process.
Yeah.
Well, what about things that, what about, and again, I don't know the grant process that well, but let's say that Donna gets an ROI, whatever it is, and says, this doesn't work. Do you then take it to the program committee and say, this doesn't work, and they say, yeah, you're right? Or does it not even get to the program committee?
It goes to the program committee in that chart that I have.
Okay, so they have an opportunity to say, well, we don't agree, but does the applicant have an opportunity to come to the committee and say, I really think you should consider this?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes,
sure. It's a public meeting, you're right.
And they have to passed. I mean, the matter of balance with Suzanne Spencer spoke up on behalf of that program committee.
If you could just add the process to that here to explain.
So the existing grant policy that was approved included the whole, it's not on the website, but it includes the whole flow chart in it, mm-hmm. that which is approved by the board as the
flow chart does all of that.
Decline in any time. And we do put the reason for decline.
So why are we putting that, if there isn't already a grant process policy, it's just not in here?
There's a flow chart that supplements the word policy.
Okay,
so can we attach it?
We should attach it to the end of this, yes.
Yes.
So there is one provision, I believe, in the AB 2019 that prohibits the an elected official from directing the staff to say, you have to grant this person.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, good.
So that's why the appeal process should be reserved to the cases in which there is a competitive application.
Check with Jeff on that.
Yeah.
I think your original thought was that so long as we have an appeal process for any time that anybody is denied,
uh-huh.
whether it's, it has to just be defined.
I think it has to be.
Maybe the flow chart does that well.
Yeah. So let's add the flow chart to this.
Mm-hmm.
And for the sake of submitting this to for the certification, should we move forward with this as it?
I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Did you want to recuse yourself on one?
Oh, yes, I'm going to recuse myself. Thank you for me.
So.
Do I need to step out of the room? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. And then.
So I can move and second and vote?
Move by directors.
I think you just forward it to the board for discussion and
without a recommendation.
So I don't think she really needs to be.
Yeah, and you can explain it at the board that because President Delara is on the committee, we decided just although we reviewed it and discussed it, except for that part, we wanted the board to discuss it.
Yeah.
And then when you present to the board, it'll have that attachment. And I think it's fine.
So we're talking about what, 3B2? Is that what it implies?
We're going to send the whole thing to the board.
No, I'm talking about why
she recused herself. We thought it was 3B2.
Oh, yes, because it was 3B2.
Right.
And what are we going to do with this engagement committee?
Can we just go back to
3B2? Oh, we will discuss it at the end when we finish looking at all this.
Sorry.
So, I had a thought on this, my own thought from this 3B2, where we say the district may also consider providing grant funds to develop capacity building via the CNA through RAP. Do we need to memorialize that? Because there could be other organizations that provide capacity building expertise as well.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just say it has to be through RAP.
Just say, consider providing grant funds to develop capacity building,
period.
You guys okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, now that we've taken it out, she can vote on it, right? Right?
But we do give grants to develop capacity building, so why we pull that out?
No, but this is particularly about audits, remember?
No, that's fine.
So what we've done is we've taken out the whole thing about the Center for Nonprofit Advancement through RAP, and just said that we may also consider providing grants to develop capacity building, period.
Okay, muy bien.
And then I move for acceptance.
And I will second. Right? Okay.
You okay with that? Conrado, you okay?
Yes, okay.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, and no noes, passes 2-0. Jeff told me that I need to announce the names of the people that vote. So I'm going to do that during board meetings, but I don't have to do that. I know we want to follow the same procedure.
Wait, for what?
When we do the votes, Jeff told me that afterwards I'm supposed to announce who votes all those in favor. Did he not mention that to
you? No, but they're...
The names?
The names are called out. You don't have to announce.
He said that either you have to do it or I have to do it. And so if whatever...
After a motion?
After... Yeah.
For committee meetings or for board meetings?
For board meetings.
For board meetings. So board, I know.
Well, we do. We do a roll call.
A roll call one, each individual is.
No, we don't do it that way because he came over and he told me after the meeting. Okay, talk to him about what he said. But and I wrote down what he told me, that paper that I had shared with you. He said you need to announce the names of the people that vote because the public has a right to know how people voted.
But that's it's
a roll call.
So when we do the roll call, okay. Director Zindel says yes, President Dallara says no.
And then after I say, after we take the vote, he wants me to say, okay, motion passes 2-0, Director Zindel.
Okay, something that's required.
Yeah, please clarify because he said either you have to do it or I have to do it. And I said, well, rather Andrea does it. But I know we wanted to follow the same policies that we do in the board. And committee minutes, that's why I'm bringing it up now.
Yeah, so why don't you just...
And the minutes have exactly who voted yes and who voted no.
Yeah, why don't you...
But he's, if it's according to what Jeff said,
we'll talk to
for the public during the meeting, the minutes are after.
We'll talk to him.
Yeah, please talk to him because he came over and he said, you know, you did good on this, but you didn't...
So Andrea can say it passes 3-4... You know, whatever. But
or sometimes I'll just say it passes.
Why don't you figure out with him?
Yeah,
what
I will. Because if you're assigned it, perfect. But he said either you could do it or I could.
No, you should talk to him.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
I get myself in trouble all the time. Okay, so that's it.
Policy 14.
New business. Policy 14. Expense authorization. We don't have anything.
So this one is related to staff.
Okay.
So we have one for the board.
Okay, why don't you call it staff expense authorization? Since you have a policy for the board members, right?
Yep.
By the way, what's that one called?
Is it board expense?
Chief board expense.
Is that what it's called?
It's mixed in with all of the...
Okay.
I mean, I can give you the actual name.
No, that's all right. It's not a separate policy, or it is?
It's mixed with compensation.
Memberships and organizations, training, education, conferences, and expense.
And under what policy?
Policy number 13.
Okay.
And that is board
That's why I just remember.
That only refers to the board, that policy 13?
Yes.
Okay.
Could I look at policies on the website?
Policies, yes. They haven't been revised with these yet, but they're all on the front page of the website.
Policy 13, because when I was filling out my reimbursement thing, I've never done the mileage, and so I didn't know what I was supposed to do and stuff, because I don't, I didn't want to mess up. So I'll look at that so I can have a better understanding.
Okay.
I was reading this and I thought, oh, this applies to us, too, so I thought I would, but even then, it was unclear.
That's fine.
And that when I was reading this and I thought it applied to staff and board, I thought, oh, okay, well, if I am, I think we've had this kind of a side conversation before as to when we're actually allowed to submit for reimbursement for mileage. If I'm in Palm Desert, I always just leave it because I'm in the area. If I come to Palm Springs, that's when I think I would use it, Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Or is that not?
Yeah, because that, when I come to this meeting, which is a half a mile, I don't submit.
And we spelled that out because we did that in this policy review out of RAP office when we did the policy review of this particular policy. So we specifically said, as an example, a director resides in Indio but employed in Palm Desert. A meeting is in Palm Springs at the district office. The director's office in Palm Desert would be the starting point for mileage.
But that's because
so that's
staff members cannot expense home to the office.
Yeah.
But that's different. It's here. Different for us.
Yeah.
Right. If you live in Indio and you come to the office here, you can expense the miles.
If I'm coming from Indio, then I can.
Or if you come from Palm Desert. The point is, if a staff member...
We have to do based on the office.
Right.
The office is our home location.
Home base. Uh-huh.
But for the director we put in here, we'll typically use their district home or another reasonable starting point.
Okay.
So if you're starting from
that's
your work,
okay, perfect.
Then you can...
Yeah, but what if a staff member lives in Indio and goes to a meeting in La Quinta, and that's all they have that day, and then goes home? Can they expense that? I'm just curious.
They could from their home, but yeah, I mean, they're
okay.
Not going to be able to do it.
The way I, just kind of an example is, the way I handle it is you have to go to work every day, but if you are going to an alternative location, if it's more mileage going to an alternative location, then you get to put that in there. But if you're less miles, if you're going from Indio to La Quinta instead of having to go from Indio to Palm Springs, it's less miles.
So you're trying to go for an employee.
So,
yeah, but not for
here,
us.
For here.
For okay. Got it.
But if it's shorter distance, then don't.
Sorry. Is that are you happy with the way this is now? It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So motion to approve.
And this is one that we did not have in our policies that is specific to the CHD certification.
Okay, so just with the change to differentiate that this is a staff expense policy.
Just the title.
So we have a motion, I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
No, it passes.
Okay, now can we vote on this now?
It's not agenda. It's not agenda
either. But it's already passed, right?
Then you just need to assign it a policy number.
Okay, well,
I don't know. That
I would suggest you assign it a policy number and then bring it to the board meeting
with this packet. So we don't have to discuss
is that okay?
It today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we can add it to the consent agenda.
Maybe you should
I would do it during this discussion. You can do it during this discussion.
These items are going to be on the consent agenda. The policies are not going to be for discussion. I'm going to add them to, really, yes. Just like any grants in the previous, the board meeting we had on Tuesday.
Okay. Unless a board member pulls it.
That's right.
It could still be on there as under the consent. Or
you can put it on the consent agenda. It's fine.
Does the staff report?
I just have to see if the board members are paying attention and whether anybody wants to pull.
I did notice on Tuesday that they were going through all of those consent items. They were really reading them. Some of them were.
Mm-hmm. Some of them were. Yes.
And the staff report. The staff report can indicate on this one that it was previously approved March 2018. However, there was not a policy number assigned to it.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's the only one, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So once you get the policy number, did you want to add that into the grant policy? Wherever we had about this subject matter experts thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I added that to the minutes. So it was item 2. The committee will review the community engagement policy and any revisions. Oh, at the next committee meeting. So that is incorrect.
Yeah,
just
the items will be added to the consent agenda.
But where you were taking out things, I guess, about volunteer members and things like that, you were going to insert something about community engagement policy or refer to the community engagement policy because you still wanted to keep the.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that one.
Yeah, I think it was under board committees. Or
that's the one we were adding 2.1.6.
But you have to wait to get the policy number.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we okay to move on, or are you still fighting? You okay? Okay, so new future topics and issues. Any future topics or issues that we need to talk about?
Well, I missed that one with the election.
Yeah, location. The election.
Yeah.
Okay. The election, and are we going to do that most popular agenda item about the ticket policy, or is that waiting until the, is that the 1 year anniversary yet?
The anniversary is, I believe, in May.
May, okay, mm-hmm. So we're going to have to do it now. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I want to stick to the
anniversary.
Are we doing that on everyone, or we're just doing
on
that one?
Because
we
just
said
on
that
one, because we said that that was the direction. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing else.
Thank you.
Okay, any other future topics or issues, Director Zindel?
Yep.
No, none for me. Okay, so I will adjourn the meeting at 11:23.